when my early morning day begins, and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
6:11, happy Friday. There is, let me go back to Mary on this. There was, I should say, a triple fatal, is that right, on 88 West?
Yes, it was, everything's just been reopened, westbound right before Winfield, but triple fatality, apparently one car was traveling eastbound in the westbound lanes and struck another car head-on. So, driver of both cars were deceased.
Ugh.
Yeah,
terrible
and a passenger in another car. So,
and this is what, 1 o'clock in
terrible.
The morning?
Terrible. Yeah, I believe it happened about 1:30. Yeah, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock soon.
And no idea how the other person or why the other person was in the wrong lanes?
No, they're still investigating right now. Apparently traveling in the wrong lanes. Just
you ever been in that situation where you've seen somebody coming at you in your lane? Because the problem is it takes a second to realize
yeah.
what's happening.
Especially if it's night. And yeah. You know, the lights are shining in your eyes, and you're like, are they that close to me, or are they over more, or swerving, or what's going on? It's very, very scary situation.
I added here on the Kennedy in the middle of the night, and somebody in a construction situation had taken literally the wrong exit, older person, and went up the down and came on the wrong side and didn't know how to get off. And, you know, they pass you, and you think, did I see that?
Yeah. Do they know what they're doing? Should I alert them? Are they drunk?
By the time I reached for 911, the police were chasing him in the wrong direction and, you know, got him off the road.
Oh, thank goodness.
There have been more wrong-way drivers on the roads in Chicago, tollways, expressways, this year than the past 2 years combined.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of them have been drunk driver and intoxicated drivers that just...
get confused.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be really drunk to be taking the wrong highway.
It's terrible.
Sandberg, has this happened to you?
Well, I've sometimes been a wrong way driver.
What?
But not on the highway, but on the streets in Chicago where there, you know, there's some one way.
Oh, on a one way street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone starts honking at you and you're like, okay,
why?
I
I'm
get
sorry,
it.
I'm
but
sorry.
Now to turn around is almost like a bigger problem than if you just let me keep going the wrong way till the next street.
There's a.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's happened to all of us.
Sure.
We have this weird parking lot downstairs here. And if you want to get on St. Clair Street, when you exit our parking lot, you got to go the wrong way on a one-way for literally 15 feet.
Yeah, I do that every day.
And then you dip down St. Clair.
You know, you guys can go around and then...
Yeah.
That's what I
okay.
do.
I was going to say.
I can't believe you guys do that.
But the honking thing, I agree with you. The honking thing, it's like, yeah, I realize I just made a mistake.
Right.
And whenever, you know, I try to shortcut things and save a little time, I just that's my first time. I don't know what I'm doing. Sorry. I am so
or
sorry.
Or start speaking a different language out the window, you know, something.
Right.
So what do you do if someone is heading south on St. Clair and looking to make a left? And
I always have the right of way.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad that's established.
Haven't Steve's you read right the away. Rules of the road? Yeah.
Yeah,
don't you
right
make, away?
Sometimes the problem is the pedestrians, because I make that wrong. I do that illegal move as well every day. And the pedestrians, like, they're on their bike, you're messing up my timing.
It's
like, get out of my way, because I need to make this illegal move, which if you just give me the 4 seconds, I'll be over.
Now, if you see plates from out of state, they will go the wrong way on a one-way somewhere in downtown Chicago. It's just a matter of when.
Oh, easily.
And don't
easily.
You give them a little more rope?
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
don't
yeah.
start... pounding the horn and
I don't.
No, I
everyone
don't.
Else does.
Yeah. And you know,
does.
Mary and Steve, you've just brought the heat down on all of us because if there's a cop listening now, he's going to be parked out there at 10 o'clock this
yeah,
morning.
Exactly.
You know, if there's a cop waiting for our 15-foot detour for the wrong way, that cop needs to, you know, take care of something else today.
Yeah. There's other important things going on.
They just need 4 seconds to break the law. That's
yeah.
it.
That's well, I think need. Compared to what I did last year, if you recall when I first started on the show, I got a ticket for, there was trucks stopped at a stoplight, and I went around the trucks and went through the stoplight because I didn't feel like waiting.
Oh,
did you get out of that?
Rules didn't apply to
in the morning. Did you get out of that? I did get out
of that. I thought the reason was because you really had to use the bathroom. And
I did have to use the bathroom, but I also was impatient. And yeah. I could honestly say that I've been going through that light a few times in the morning because we're here, you know, at a time when it's not busy.
We need to get a camera on that light.
I know.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
The lights are, though, I mean, not to agree with breaking the law, Mary, but the lights are crazy timed. You know, it'll turn green, and then you go to the next light, and then it's red. Then you go to the next light, then it's red. It's ridiculous.
Listen, if you believe in karma for anything, Dave, you'll appreciate this because I know you believe that we should follow rules. And I generally do as well, unless they're inconvenient to me. But there's these posts that you have to clear when you leave our parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after the first time I went the wrong way down the one way, and I laughed at myself for this, I drove into one of those posts as I was leaving.
Oh.
Were you okay, Steve?
I was okay.
The car?
Left front bumper popped a little hole in that.
Yeah. Did you have a nice yellow stripe on your car?
No, I hit it in the corner. I hit it
good
hard.
Okay, good.
And it wasn't this car. It wasn't the ice blue. It was another car.
It wasn't Blue Thunder.
Do it to the ice blue. By the way, Chevy's. I'm doing a little Chevy party tonight. Hanging out with all the other Chevy people. You guys want to come by and just stand behind me? And then whenever I bring up the ice blue, you guys can just yell out Blue Thunder?
I'm surprised we weren't invited.
Yeah, what the heck?
The Blue Thunder.
I think that may be why you weren't invited.
Aficionados.
Yeah. But it would be cool if you just followed me around at the party, and every time I brought it up, if they brought it up, you just guys in sync would yell out Blue Thunder.
As fun as that sounds, wow.
Well, you have something else going on Friday night?
And you could dress as the color of the car. Yes.
It'd be nice to be asked.
Would be nice.
I just asked you.
Well, the same day.
Yeah, well, we're not going to come.
Yeah, but I did ask.
Notice.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My policy. Yes. Well done by you. 6:17. Let's take a break. Come back in. Lou Manfredini in just a couple of moments, as we tend to do on Fridays. Lou Manfredini will answer your questions about your house or wherever you live and the troubles you're having. Nobody knows the troubles you've seen. Number to call. Get in line. First caller wins. 312-981-7200. Texters, don't wait until 6:45. Lou is on now. If you have a question about your home, 312-981-7200. Text those in now.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Sponsored by, as you just heard seconds ago, American Weathermakers. Lou Manfredini joins us. Are you at Channel 9?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Sapelsa broke the microphone.
Oh, this is the microphone he uses when he talks to Roe?
Smells like him.
Is that good?
You mean it smells fantastic?
It does. He's a good-looking man.
Yes, it smells like good-looking Mark Sapelsa.
It does. It smells like the Green Bay Packers. Isn't he a Packer fan?
Yeah, it smells like cheese, though.
It does sort of smell like cheese.
Well, this is all wrong.
Okay.
I fixed it, though. Sapelsa is on. Well, I would hope. Sapelsa is on every night with... would it be funny, though, if we found that there was something that Lou knew nothing about? Would it be great if there's like one thing...
There's plenty.
One thing Lou didn't know about, but it was like changing a light bulb.
Oh.
You know, something that he had a fear of. It's like, and it's something that I could do. That'd be great.
It's like Stump Lou. It would never happen,
though.
Not
going to happen.
No.
Okay.
Not against you.
Easy, tough guy. Lou's first call. We'll get a.
Hey, wait! You know what I got to tell you? I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah,
I met your sister.
Which one?
Leslie.
Oh yeah, Leslie. Yeah, yeah.
At a performance.
By the way, I love both of them, but Leslie's one of them, and she's
and
great.
She came up and introduced herself to me. You have a nephew that goes to Notre Dame High School.
I have a nephew that goes to Notre Dame High School. No, I have a niece.
She does. Well, you don't have a niece because it's an all boys school.
Yeah. No, she slipped in. She has a nephew that goes to, you know, you're missing something in that story. I don't think that's
well,
true.
She was at a performance at Notre Dame High School.
She usually goes and just heckles kids and plays.
No. That's she was there. There's some nephew connection. I'm with that. Maybe it's a brother-in-law. Anyway, I just had a 5-minute conversation, and the thing I said to her after I met her, and she was a lovely woman.
Yeah.
I said, I already like you better than I like Steve.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm sure she gets that a lot.
I'm sure she does.
You know, Jennifer saw Tom Skilling, my little sister, saw Tom Skilling at like a Jewel or something.
Right.
See if this surprises you. So she introduces herself to Tom. Oh, I love Steve. Oh, that's he followed her to the car.
Oh my
helped
God.
Her put the I'm not making
that's
this
a
up.
Really good skilling, by the way.
Thank you. I'm not making this up. Put the groceries in the car and continue to talk to her. She loved every minute of it, obviously,
so
because who
funny.
Doesn't love Tom Skilling?
Right. Who doesn't love Tom Skilling?
Smelling of Mark Sapelsa, Lou Manfredini prepared to take Jim's first call, and Jim be a big winner right here. Hi, Jim. How are you? Excellent.
I'm doing
too.
Good, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing fine. Doing fine. We have for you, Jim, for calling in the American Weathermaker's April Air Wi-Fi thermostat allows you to adjust the temperature of home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermaker's, home of the 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. And, Lou, this is fun because when you're on the road, you can crank the heat down and have your family wonder why it's cold in the house.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, Jim, a lot of good times ahead for you.
Sounds like fun.
All right, good. All right, so, Jim, do you have a question for Lou?
I do have a question. Lou, I have I live in a condo, and I have spancrete ceiling and textured ceiling. I've had some water damage, so some of the textured ceiling has bubbled up a little bit.
Okay.
I don't want to try to repair it. I want to, you know, I don't want to scrape it and try to refix it. I want to, somebody told me to squirt, poke a hole and squirt some adhesive. Wondering if that makes any sense.
Could use cheese.
So the problem with that is...
I think Lou just ignores me now.
Yeah, well, the problem with what you're trying to do, sure, you can buy... If you go to a good worker woodworking shop, there are glue syringes, literally, designed for repair of wood, where you can put an adhesive in it, and it's got a little needle that's just like... Well, it is a syringe. But it's a little bit larger than, you know, one that you would give a shot to. I mean, maybe you would use this on a buffalo. I don't know, but not a person. And you could try, but more than likely all that paint and that texture is so dry that the minute you touch it, it's going to flake away. Now, there are touch-up kits that come in spray cans that apply the texture as if you're spray painting a bicycle or something like that. And it comes in a bunch of different textures, orange peel or kind of a small pebble feel. You'll see the picture on it. Homax is the manufacturer, and most hardware stores and home centers sell it. And if it were me, I would scrape away all the loose stuff, and then I would kind of feather this stuff in. And while it won't be perfect, it'll be better than what you have.
Feather it like a 70s Partridge Family member's hair, that kind of look?
Right, and you go, ba, 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 ba.
Did you hear that? David Cassidy on the show yesterday?
No.
Yeah, nobody else did either. It's.
I was in Nashville all day yesterday.
How was that?
It was great. It was
your
beautiful.
Album coming along well?
Yeah, my EP. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did meet a guy. I was on morning television. There was a guy performing, and they were talking about his new EP.
You say there was a guy performing in Nashville. You could be anywhere.
It's unbelievable.
Every corner.
In the airport, every other place you buy food, there's somebody playing a guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. It's also annoying. So here's some texture questions. Lou, please, I have solar lights and I have several holiday-themed ones that I constantly have to replace the batteries in because they don't seem to recharge correctly, even with the bright sunlight in full view. I can check before I get rid of them. I hate to do that because they don't always have the same ones available for right. replacement. Your thoughts, please.
Most of those solar lights that you buy are pretty inexpensive, and the quality of the batteries in them just don't last. And in particular, during the winter months, because it's so cold, the constant cycle, when you buy those things, you know, everybody's like, wow, these are great. You just can't go into them thinking they're a long-term solution because they're not. The trick with those always is to make sure that the collection panel, you know, what the solar part that collects the sun to charge it,
yeah.
You need to clean that on a regular basis because when that starts to get dust on it and debris and dirt, then it doesn't have the opportunity to charge the battery fully, and that's why it doesn't last.
Good luck with that. Lou, from the 630, what product do you recommend to take rust out of cement?
Well, even if it's inside, CLR is probably the go-to product. It is a lactic acid base cleaner. If it's really bad, you want to use like a 50-50 mix. You could even use full strength, but you have to be very careful. You scrub it in with a brass scrubbing brush into like a froth. Let it sit there for about a half an hour and then rinse. try it again. That's as good as it's going to get.
Couple more here. Lou, we had our kitchen makeover done by Builder Supply Outlet 14 months ago. When do we seal our granite?
They should have sealed it the day they did it.
Yeah, and we know how good those guys are, so yeah. If that didn't happen, I'd just call them today.
I imagine they did.
You know, the Builder Supply folks are just about finishing my bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have them do the kitchen almost immediately after because Tom Janke and everybody he has there do great work.
And the installers typically make sure you have granite. If you put quartz in, it doesn't need to be sealed. So a lot of times people confuse those two. And so if it's a quartz material, doesn't need to be sealed. If it's granite, when they're all said and done, they seal it right away.
I told Maureen I wanted to put cubic zirconia in. She said, get out. Just get out.
Yeah. It's not a good look on a counter. It's hard to cut stuff on it. It's very small.
Lou, what's the name of the product you recommend for hardwood and composite floors to make them all shiny again?
So there's a product called Rejuvenate, which is a coating that goes right over the top. It's amazing. You clean the floor really well. They have a synthetic pad you put over a mop. You squirt it, you mop it, you get out for 2 hours, come back. It's unbelievable how shiny the floor is and how it takes those little scratches away.
815, Lou, in your opinion, would Wave Air Machine help with allergies and mold?
Those ads have been running on the station quite a bit, and I did a little bit of research on my own, nothing scientific, and I have not formed an opinion on that product yet. There's a couple things that it does that I think are kind of cool, and there's a couple things that it does that I don't understand from a scientific point. So I need to talk to somebody at that Wave place because I need to get the 411 because I have gotten other comments about that. And honestly, I haven't formed an opinion yet. And if I don't like it, I'll tell you. But I haven't formed an opinion yet.
Might help if I have my microphone on. Yep. Lou, last one. I have an egress window with a grate and cover on it. I still keep getting mice and shrew mice in it. What are shrew mice?
Little guys.
Oh. I thought they were mice that were just loud and screechy.
Wait, say that again. They have a glass block window with a cover?
They have an egress window with a grate and cover on it, but mice keep getting in.
Oh. Well, I mean, you need to make sure it's completely sealed. But there's
Hello, it's the mouse. Let me in.
Shrew. It's like something from Shakespeare.
I'm here to right? give you an estimate on your ceiling.
Isn't there a Shakespeare with something in the shrew?
It's hard to tame them, though.
Right.
Sorry. Sorry.
Very good. You're like Jack Kerouac.
Thank you.
Weird-looking
mice.
There is
They're
a product
weird-looking mice. They got like a beak.
Mouse Magic and also Fresh Cab, which are these little
like
sachets.
A fresh cab.
Sachets that smell like evergreen and pine. And if you throw that in that well, they will not go near it. They don't, for some reason, mice don't like the smell of this pine and balsam. And these little sachets that you put in there, open up the window, throw a couple in there, done. They're done.
You can also try C4.
Doesn't kill them. It just repels
tiny
them.
Bits of C4.
No, that'll hurt the window.
Oh, good point. Dave, any questions?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
It should be dead by now.
It is.
It is.
It is.
So are we.
Stop asking then. I mean, it's dead.
Yeah, really beating it into the ground.
Jeez.
Big story coming up. Have fun at Channel 9.
Love you.
See you tomorrow. Love you back. It's the Steve Cochran Show, and it's 720 WGN.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, back then, it was all, you know, painkillers. I played my whole career on painkillers. I quit all that cold turkey, and I moved out to Arizona and got my medical marijuana license, and it's, you know, it's a lot easier on my body. You know, I can get through the day without a problem, and my shoulders, elbows, my knees, my hands are going bad now. So, yeah, it'd be a tough struggle to get through the day without anything, that's for sure. It doesn't have any side effects. For me, it works.
It's Jim McMahon talking about using medical marijuana, and should professional athletes be able to use medical marijuana, possibly while they're still playing, as a pain reliever and a way to get through day-to-day, especially in high physical pain sports. You know, hockey could be it, certainly the National Football League. Lester Munson joins us, and Lester's got an educated opinion on this, as he does on most things. Lester, you have an educated opinion on most things, don't you?
I sure try.
How are you, by the way? Happy holidays.
Well, and to you, too. I am just doing fine here. Thank you.
You know, we should say, with all the fine work you do with the Hazelden folks, you come to this from the approach of understanding addiction, but also understanding sports. So you seem to be the right guy to talk about this. Has this hit and impacted active players already?
It certainly has. McMahon is a perfect example. He was suffering from various concussion-related problems. There was a major story in Sports Illustrated some time ago about the difficulties he was having. He could barely make it out of his house to the grocery store and back without encountering difficulties. And now, as you had in the piece there, he is using medical marijuana to his advantage. It reduces the symptoms both of the brain injury and of the more orthopedic injuries. The problem, though, Steve, is current players who are suffering from problems that might be alleviated by medical marijuana, they are restricted by the union agreement, the collective bargaining agreement. Any use of drugs, any testing for drugs must be covered by the union agreement. And we have a player in Buffalo now who has been suffering from Crohn's disease, a terrible digestive ailment,
right,
and medical marijuana gave him some relief. But because he is using marijuana and he tested positive, he will be suspended for 10 games, basically losing almost an entire season and perhaps his career. So there are issues that remain to be resolved in this particular use of medical marijuana.
All right, let's do this. Let's do traffic. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about what's real and what's cultural and the ability to change the latter and grow up and understand that the ravaging side effects of extensive use of painkillers is not what we need to put on people, and maybe we all need to grow up. And by the way, this comes from somebody that's never smoked pot or used marijuana in their life. I'm just saying we all need to grow up to some extent with the appropriate barriers in there, too, to make sure it's not abused.
Very good issues, yeah.
So, 649. More with Lester Munson in just a second. Get Dave Ennett in here as well, who's a huge pothead. What?
Now don't stop. Why do you even say
what?
Things like that?
We actually have the most teetotaling show here.
Yeah, really?
Has anybody on this show ever used weed? Probably Vandeveld and
College. I never have.
No.
Vandeveld and College partier.
No.
Yeah. No, I never have.
So honestly. Just the producers?
Yeah. Dave, and Dave and Mary.
Yeah, the millennials.
You know Jake and Sandberg.
Yeah, Sandberg.
Sandberg never?
Come on.
Never? Never. Okay. So it's just Jake. All right, Jake, we're going to need you to pee in a cup while Mary does this traffic update. Lester Munson standing by. By the way, it's hashtag Madigan Challenge. We're looking for pictures, or videos for that matter, of a meeting with an empty chair that Mike Madigan would sit in if he'd ever show up for a meeting. The Madigan Challenge. It's an empty chair at a meeting. Send us your pictures. I'll plug your business. And you can send those hashtag Madigan Challenge. Facebook is Steve Cochran Show. Twitter is at Cochran Show. Lester Munson's here. Lester, before we get back to the issue at hand, there's a holiday concert coming up that I'd like you to mention because it's got, a personal part of you and interest in this.
There is indeed. On Saturday, December 10th, there will be two performances of what is known as the Reba Christmas Mass. Jakub Jan Reba was a Czech composer. He wrote this Christmas music in the late 18th century. It is kind of a populist version of Handel's Messiah. The music is joyful, inspiring, accessible. It's only 55 minutes long. It is some of the greatest Christmas music anyone could ever hear. These performances will be at the Chicago Temple, the Methodist Church located at Clark and Washington in the heart of the Loop. The concerts are free. There is no better Christmas music, whether you're of Czech background or Bohemian background or just somebody in Chicago. It's just terrific stuff, and I would suggest to anybody looking for some great music to open the Advent season, this this is it. It's really terrific stuff.
And for information on tickets or whatever, or just show, I mean, how do they show up and go?
It's free. You show up. The performances are at 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, and the details are available on the Chicago Sister Cities website. Okay. Prague in the Czech Republic and Chicago are sister cities. This is a function of the Sister Cities Committee, of which my wife and I have been members. It's really great music. I've never really heard anything quite like it, cool. And I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Sounds great. Lester, let me follow up on the medical marijuana story, because Jim McMahon offered some pretty compelling personal testimony as to the benefits of medical marijuana. But now you have the case with Chantrell Henderson in Buffalo and the suspension, 10 games because it's a second positive test. Is this maybe going to be the case that tips it and changes the way that we look at medical marijuana and maybe prompts the leagues, the professional sports leagues, and their respective players' associations to come to some sort of meeting of the minds on it?
I think it is, Steve. I believe that the players' unions, and that would be in all four sports and certainly in the National Football League, must address this issue. We now have powerful testimony, as you say, from Jim McMahon. We have the situation involving Henderson, a guy who suffers from Crohn's disease, and the unions are going to have to go to the leagues, and they're going to have to suggest that we need an exception to the absolute provisions that are now in the union contracts. If there's a positive test for marijuana in the National Football League, it's an automatic suspension. There is almost nothing the player can do, so that the only way to provide for use of medical marijuana as a medical therapy is to have the union contract amended. And that's going to be hard, because if the owners are willing to give the players this, they're going to want something in return. It becomes complicated, and it becomes a matter of collective bargaining.
All right, people are going to wonder, is there a test that would indicate medical marijuana that also is a test for other drugs? In other words, could players abuse the testing process if medical marijuana is approved?
Well, that's certainly a problem, and the idea would be to put together a provision that would provide for medical therapy without adding any kind of performance enhancement to the player. Performance-enhancing drugs are generally not accepted, both culturally and in union agreements. However, medical therapy, I think people would be willing to accept that, so that there's going to have to be some way to differentiate, and the testing then would have to be amended and changed to provide for the use of medical marijuana.
Court challenge, or the league grows up and acts more 21st century here?
I think it's a question of growing up and acting more 21st century. Both the league and the union must get together. There is an atmosphere right now of antagonism between the players and the owners in the National Football League. They're going to have to bridge that gap in order to help these players among their membership who can benefit from this kind of therapy.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
In just a fit of pique and anger, and recklessness, the governor has decided to hold 400,000 school children hostage to his political agenda, one that has nothing to do with the education of school children.
It's disappointing that they have walked away from the deal which we had in that room last June regarding Chicago Public Schools and the $200 million in exchange for a pension reform bill to be completed by the end of this General Assembly.
To me, it's just semantics. About things aren't tied together. We're just talking about everything. And eventually, we need to very quickly come up with a balanced budget.
Rick Pearson will join us here in just a second. Did I hear snow in the forecast, though, before we get to that? Is that accurate?
There could be some snow on Sunday, an inch, maybe two accumulation. Maybe.
Should I punch myself in the head?
Did I hear snow in the forecast? Is that accurate? I'm just going to stay in denial here for as long as I possibly can.
It won't be anything major.
Good morning to Rick Pearson. When he hits the air Sunday morning for the Sunday spin, full blizzard conditions we're expecting. Rick, good luck with that.
Thank you so much. What a great way to wake up on Sunday mornings.
It just seems to me, well, your show is certainly. It just seems to me that this happens every year at this time. Yet I'm always shocked. I'm always just, what? December? Snow?
Well, no one believes it till they see it. That's the problem.
That's ridiculous. Let's run through a couple of things here. Trump gets a lot of credit for the carrier move yesterday. I was questioning whether or not he actually thanked Mike Pence at all in the midst of it, because Pence, the governor of Indiana, I got to believe he was the linchpin in you know, in getting the deal done.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, when you look at what helped make the deal, a couple of things. One was that the carrier will be getting tax breaks, and that will also help finance some expansion in Indianapolis. But number two is United Technologies, the parent company, concerned about doing something that might affect its relationship with the new administration, given the fact that United Technologies has any number of federal contracts at stake.
A lot of defense work, right?
Yes, indeed.
There is, I think it was NBC, featured a piece on a ball bearing plant just down the road from this particular carrier plant that also is having a bunch of jobs outsourced, because the criticism yesterday, and I said it at last hour, I'll say it again, the Trump, incoming Trump administration deserves credit for following through on one of their promises, but the criticism is, does this set up other companies to go, hey, I'm leaving too, unless, is that the scenario that could play out now?
Oh, absolutely, and you know, you're seeing that kind of meme all over social media where, hey, even individuals saying, hey, I didn't file a tax return for 7 years. Can I get some help and I'll pay back what I owe? Yeah, I think you do tend to set up that kind of issue. Trump, of course, you know, wanted to have a good win as part of the kickoff of his victory tour. But at the same time, and this is, we've seen among the states as well, in the competition for jobs, particularly here in the Midwest, where the idea of threatened moves or potential moves being offset by, is there some kind of tax breaks or tax incentives that we can offer?
When we come back after a traffic update here, I'd like to discuss with you the pension story with Rahm Emanuel and whether the mayor will actually go to Springfield, has a place in Springfield, hangs out in Springfield, maybe takes one of those laser lights and shines it in the governor's eyes just to annoy him. We'll get to that in just a second. Rick Pearson's on the phone. By the way, you got a plug for Sunday Spin?
Yes, I have former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy on. We'll talk about now that the city has passed the grim milestone of 700 homicides this year, the most in two decades. We'll also talk to David Merriman. He's a financial policy expert at the University of Illinois about his latest fiscal futures project, projecting out the ever-growing deficit that's facing the Illinois government.
I have said to the mayor on the air and off the air that, well, there's plenty of problems in the city. I do appreciate there's good news to be had here as well. However, the P word, the pension word, the worst word in Illinois, crippling the state, but crippling the city as well, and the mayor wants help from the rest of the state to create a cushion, if you will, and pay down this pension debt that the city has for teachers and public workers and things of that nature. What happened to the bill yesterday, and is it going to go anywhere?
Well, the bill yesterday, there was a bill that had passed the legislature previously that would have gotten, given the Chicago Public Schools, $215 million in state funding. One of the arguments being that as we've heard before, that Chicago taxpayers pay twice for pensions. They pay property taxes for Chicago public school teachers, but also a portion of their income taxes used to help pay pensions for teachers outside the city of Chicago. This was kind of viewed as a potential first step to maybe kind of provide what the mayor says is some equity by having some state money help pay Chicago pensions. That bill passed. The governor vetoed it and contended that Democrats broke a deal that the funding for the Chicago Public Schools was conditional upon an overall comprehensive change in public employee pensions for all state workers. Democrats say, well, there was never really that kind of a deal. Frankly, I remember covering it at the time, and basically that was kind of the understanding, was that these two were linked. Senate President Cullerton says they were never linked. He said he was making progress on a comprehensive pension bill when the governor unveiled his veto.
Does everything have to be in writing for Republicans and Democrats to actually tell the truth to each other?
You know, there was a time back in the Blagojevich era where the distrust between the legislature and the governor was so great that the governor then was forced to write memorandums of understanding so they put things down in writing. Maybe that's not such a bad idea to go back to.
Yeah, it's really outrageous. And by the way, if anyone sees any sense of honor in politics now and going forward, please let me know, because it's probably like seeing an eclipse.
Well, remember, after the election, you know, the election was kind of the timeout period with the stopgap budget.
Right.
And this was supposed to be a time for everybody to reassess and then come to the table. Well, that certainly didn't happen, and we're no better off than we were before the election.
Which, of course, brings us to the Madigan Challenge. Hashtag Madigan Challenge. Send us a picture of any meeting you're in with an open chair that Mike Madigan would be in, but he doesn't come to meetings. It's Facebook, Steve Cochran Show, Twitter, at Cochran Show. We'll plug your business and post your pictures. It's not the Mannequin Challenge. It's the Madigan Challenge. Show up for a meeting, Mr. Speaker. Sunday morning, Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Steve.
How about some Hawks tickets and the story of actual compromise that can get something done in Springfield? We'll get both of those in next on 720 WGN. Sing it, John.
Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on.
I think that's Chris, actually.
Get your Black Hawk tickets, yeah. Hawk a riddle, yeah, come on.
Christopher DeCosta has a nice impression
get
of his father,
Black
John DeCosta.
Tickets, yeah.
Time now for the Hawk a riddle. For Hawk tickets from Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. These Hawk tickets, by the way, are for the Blackhawks and your Winnipeg Jets. I shouldn't say your Winnipeg Jets. It's their Winnipeg Jets.
Right.
Sunday night, you're going to be entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. You two have been very cocky about the Hawker riddles.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we are preparing to stuff pucks in people's pants again. We're not ready yet, but we will be.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. There's been a void.
You realize
no, there's been a void.
You realize you just said, oh, good, to the fact that we're going to put pucks in pants?
Well, that's kind of a fun segment.
Yeah, and you're going to let them know first, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, this is not the kind of thing you've heard about all year on the campaign. No, this is actually an agreed upon between, this is mutually consenting adults agreeing to have a puck in their pants. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
That's
mutually
important.
Agreed upon puck in the pants.
That's all I'm talking about. I was Municipal Park in 24. I could hold up to 100,000 or more. They changed my name to honor those who fought. Now I look like a spaceship or a colander pot.
Oh.
Got it.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was Municipal Park in 24. I could hold up to 100,000 or more. They changed my name to honor those who fought. Now I look like a spaceship or a colander pot.
That's a good one.
First correct answer wins the tickets, qualifies for the season tickets as well. All right, Pat Brady standing by. We don't have a lot of time here, but I asked Pat to join us because it appears that even in Springfield, which I thought was a compromise-free zone, that something can get done. Is that right?
Yeah, they had a big, huge energy bill done yesterday, and the lesson to take away from it is if you let the governor negotiate and the speaker doesn't get involved, things get done. It's a huge bill, you got all the stakeholders in over the weekend. Megan tried to kill it yesterday again with some more goodies, but it got done, so it's good for ratepayers, taxpayers, and kept a lot of jobs in the state.
This is the Exelon thing, and it's a perfect segue from what the carrier news was yesterday in Indiana. Because, frankly, Indiana's had more positive economic news over the last few years than we have, though that's not a high bar for Indiana either. So the Exelon thing, it's a rate bill. What else is in it?
Well, it saved the jobs. There's roughly 1,500 jobs it saved in parts of the state of not having to close down these nuclear plants. But the broader point for me is the governor laid out some parameters on who he wanted to protect and what he wanted to get done. He sat down with all the stakeholders over the weekend and got it done. And what had been handed to him before that was just a big Christmas tree giveaway that the speaker put together, and the governor worked it out. And even up to the last minute, the speaker was trying to kill the deal, and it didn't work. And so it does work, but again, the 50-year flying the ointment down there is the guy that's been down there for 50 years. It just doesn't want to get things done.
But the good news here is there must have been some Democrats that broke from him to agree to get this done.
Yeah, and the governor won't do a victory lap on this, and the speaker did get some votes on it from some Democrats. But the point is, to me, when he's not involved in the negotiation, things get done. And I think that that's what we need to recognize when we go into these budget negotiations that are going to happen here in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, I just have a sense that there's cracks in the foundation for Madigan between the losses in the House, the Republican seats that were taken that killed his supermajority. Certainly, we're trying with our Madigan challenge and other things. But it just doesn't seem like this is a very good end of the year for Mike Madigan, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, it's not. And the and Chuck Todd mentioned this a couple months ago, that he is the last of the kings, political kings in the country. There's no more of these dynasties left. And there's some great Democrats in the House that I think are getting sick of it, too. So I do believe that he's had a rough couple months, and hopefully, just for the good of the state, not even as a partisan, we can get some things done, and he gets on board with trying to get things done.
Let me see if we check his blood pressure here. He spoke yesterday. Listen.
I told the governor, and I'll tell you, I did not suggest a stopgap budget. The idea of a stopgap budget originated with the governor or his people.
It's just not true.
No,
this is absolutely not true.
And that statement went on for a whole other 6 seconds, I would say.
So a full press conference.
Full news conference and said to the press, who had set up a little podium there, microphone stand, and he said, what? Is that all?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, he'd like a wireless so he can keep moving.
I was down there this week, and if people actually saw it, they would be even more... be more offended than they are. 80% of the state supports term limits and redistricting reform. That's how frustrated people are with what goes on down there.
Right. And why would the governor now be saying we can't have stopgap funding if, in fact, it was the governor's people who suggested it?
Yeah, it's so mind-boggling. I could go into a 10-minute explanation, but the point is you heard the clip.
It's just not true. It's just not true. And by the way, we who have microphones and TV cameras and pens and computers, we need to stop saying he misstated or he was playing fast and free with the facts. Some things are just flat out lies, and if they're lies, we got to start calling them lies.
So. I agree. And again, Chuck Todd mentioned this yesterday about the lack of local reporting, and
right.
And it's tough right now to get down there and watch this. Like, I don't think the news corps down there now is like what it used to be. I mean, guys like Pearson are still down there and others, but not like it used to be.
Now, Patty Vasquez taking time out of her schedule to go down and keep an eye on things and report back so special needs families in particular know what's happening as well. But
you've been saying for years, you got to engage. And in Illinois, you have to engage and know what's going on, because call the speaker's office, call your state rep, say that we don't like this, we want something done. I firmly believe that's the thing to do.
Do you send me a picture yet of a meeting that Mike Madigan's not at?
For my firm? Yeah, I will. Yeah. I'll get you a chair.
We need an empty chair. Send it in. It's the Madigan Challenge. An empty chair photo. Send it. Hashtag Madigan Challenge. 7:31, back with the big story in just a moment. And then Hamp's going to join us to preview the battle for the bottom, the Bears and the Niners. Ooh, I'm tingly. Stand by for Hamp on the way on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready. Weren't ready.
He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision. And folks,
I got a better word for it, Danny. How about, could it be possible this kid takes scared the death pill?
Yes, it could be. It could be possible he takes scared of death pills. Dan Hampton joins us, the Hall of Famer. The Battle of the Bottom Bowl. the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears on Sunday. What are we expecting? 5,000-10,000 people to show up for this one, Hemp?
Well, you know, I'm sure the McKeskeys would like to see a few more than that, but
so would I.
Yeah, you know, all I can say is after watching Minnesota and the futility of their offense with Sam Bradford last night, now we read that Jay Cutler getting season-ending surgery. I don't know. You know, everybody that all the Cutler haters seems like they're going to be happy now. Well, I keep saying the same thing. All right, now what you got? Where are we going to go now? So. You're right. It's going to be the bottom of the barrel bowl, but let's hope we find a way to claw out a win. You know, and I know, you know, the fans want a better draft pick. I get that. I get that. Especially if there was an Andrew Luck type college quarterback. There's not. I'm just saying, you know, I cannot, you know, spin and say, oh, it doesn't matter. We let's not try to win. I just can't do that.
No, it's so, idiotic. It's idiotic. And I listen.
It's crazy.
If you're a true Bears fan, you don't take the time or effort, not just to get up, go down, park, walk in, spend your money, watch a game to lose. You don't sit on your couch and watch them to lose either. It's a ridiculous premise.
Well, and again, here we are. Where that is like the prevalent topic of conversation. Should we win to get, you know, to save face, or should we lose to get a better draft pick? We shouldn't be in this position. And again, that's it goes true. Back to, you know, the same old drum we've been beating now most of the year, which is, hey, we got a head coach that kind of put us in a real bad spot here.
That head coach is mirrored by a head coach in San Francisco who was going to be the wonder boy in Philadelphia. He ends up in San Francisco, and he may have the perfect quarterback and Colin Kaepernick to run his fast offense in his West Coast style. That dude's only won one. So, you know, both these coaches, you know, have guys that should be playing for their jobs.
Well, I guess in a perfect world scenario, that would be happening, but it's not happening. And you know, like I said, you know, I guess it doesn't matter to certain, you know, ownership parties. But, you know, looking back at last week, you know, I just shake my head. You know, a couple of very sensible philosophies, you know, and premises that you go into football games, you know, expecting and thinking, okay, sane individuals are getting paid to coach this football team. Don't they understand that we're 2-9 and only twice this year we gave the football to our running back Jordan Howard more than, you know, 18 times? It was 23 on both of those, and both of those games we won, and yet we refused to do it. We threw the ball 54 times last week, and it's just, you know, it's perplexing. It really is.
By the way, you know, Chip Kelly's only 53 years old.
He's aged the last couple of years.
I was going to say, you think coaching doesn't age you? Coaching and the presidency of the United States are two things that age you faster. So,
well, no, hey, you know, it's a tough business. There's only 32 head coaches on the planet, and you basically have to be pretty special as far as, you know, the job description is to, you know, put a plan out there and organize young men to execute it. And when you don't, it looks like you need the Grecian formula pretty quick.
Hemp, Kyle Long being hurt, and this is obviously, it's been kind of a season-long thing off and on, but now he had the surgery this week. And he, I think, is widely acknowledged as the best player on this football team, but with him out, is Jordan Howard now the best player the Bears have?
No. You know, Jordan Howard is a mighty fine rookie running back. He doesn't have a whole lot of top end speed. We all see him struggle trying to catch the ball. He has some frailties, but he has been a huge boost to this offense whenever we give him the opportunity. No, and that's the thing. Are we – who's a bet? Okay, when you start listing the players, are we? Yeah, we have a lot better players now than we did when John Fox got here? And for you to even say that, Mr. Cat, is – you know, I mean, that makes you say, wow, has it gone to hell that quick?
I mean, I'm saying it tongue-in-cheek, but you know what? I mean, really, who do you look at – on this team and say, well, this is a guy who
we got a pretty good punter.
Yeah, a very good punter.
I hate to say it, but you know, when your punter starts entering the conversation, you might need a new head coach. I got to tell you, you know, of the 22 positions, I think 10 are out with injury or all I can tell you is, you know, we should not even be in this position, but unfortunately we are. And now, you know, Eddie Goldman, he's going to be a good player. You know, Willie Young has done some good stuff this year. There are spots where we've gotten some good stuff accomplished, but my goodness, are we better today than we were at the start of the season? No. Are we better today than we were at the start of last season? No. So all that being said, you know, it's cries out for, you know, change of some sort, and I don't think we're going to get it.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned this first, but there's a guy on staff that could have the interim title immediately and maybe earn the job as well. And a fresh take on things certainly seems appropriate. No, I got no axe to grind with John Fox. He's just not getting it done.
Well, there's a reason why John Elway said, see you later. And, you know, tab Gary Kubiak to become the head coach, and all he did was go and win a Super Bowl with a quarterback that couldn't run or throw. That's pretty good.
Yeah. He's also taken a quarterback who at Northwestern was a great kid, Dave, that you saw all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there was ever a time where you went, there's a guy that's going to be an NFL starter out of the gate.
Exactly.
The defending Super Bowl champs in his second year in the league.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, there is a difference in coaches, kids. More with Hamp in a second. Back to Mary for a traffic update first. All of this sponsored by Chevy. DriveChicago.com.
You know, it's all a problem.
Yata!
You know what I never want to say? Oh, the poor Bears. I mean, it just sounds wrong, doesn't it?
It does.
The Bears should always be fierce.
Supposed to be the mighty fierce Bears.
I got a fierce beer. Fierce beer. I'm looking at you.
You might need one Sunday.
A fierce bear. Dan Hampton standing by. And as always, Hamp and OB and Kaz on Sunday with their little friend, Mark Carman. What time are you guys on, him?
Well, little exposition will conclude about 3 o'clock. We'll go till 6. So, no, actually, I think till 5:30.
5:30, we have Blackhawks.
It's little exposition.
Somebody, a team in town that knows how to win. I kind of like them.
You know what the deal is? The game is actually the opener for you. You know, you take an opening act. They need some work. They don't get to headline yet. The game is the opener for the Hamp, OB, and Kaz show featuring Mark Carman. All right, so, Dave, jump in here. What do you need to know about Sunday that we don't already know?
Well, I guess how much better are the Bears, even in their current shape, than the 49ers, who certainly look to be in worse shape than the Bears?
Well, again, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we looked at this stretch of the season like, hey, well, guess what? We could, you know, if we start finding a way to win against Jacksonville and some of these lesser than teams, we could have got back in it because, I mean, it's a stretch where, you know, you could make some hay. But unfortunately, you know, that's a gone pecan now. So the 49ers, well, they're at the bottom. They're not completely devoid of talent. Their offense is showing some you know, sparks. Last week, Kaepernick was able to rush for over 100 and throw for over 300. Their defense, he's still got some remnants of a defense that went to the Super Bowl 4 years ago. So, I mean, they're not going to come in here and lay down. We know that last year was a game that we really felt like, hey, we can win this game. And all I remember is seeing Blaine Gabbert run 65 yards down the middle of the field in the fourth quarter to score a touchdown and beat us. So you never know. You never know with this Chicago Bear team.
Yeah, and the Blaine Gabbert era did begin on that day, didn't it,
Dave? It did. Okay. Absolutely did. What about
about 3 weeks later.
Exactly. What about Kyle Fuller returning? How much of an impact can he make with five games
to
go?
Are you sure he didn't go in the witness protection program so he wouldn't have to return?
Well, you would know, think.
And see, that I hate to say it, but see, that's the way this game is. If you're not around, somebody's going to step up, and a lot of times they'll seize the moment. You know, Bryce Callahan has been injured a lot, but he's replaced Fuller most of the year. Cravon LeBlanc has done it. Now DeAndre Hall, the fourth-round draft pick, who had a really bad sprained ankle, has shown that he's healthy enough to come back. And, you know, quite honestly, he's one of those kind of kids that you say, hey, we need to see more. Because moving forward, Kyle Fuller has, you know, he was almost like a flash in the pan. He had a couple of really interesting picks, I think it was 3 years ago. And since then, he's either been injured or, like you said, Steve, I mean, in the witness protection. So we'll find out. And we hope the kid, you know, comes out and kind of tries to earn his job back. But, see, that, again, is another part of the problem. This is one of, I think, three first-round draft picks on the team. And he's a guy that nobody's really expecting an awful lot out of.
Maybe we need to raise the bar a little bit. No. At this point, the Bears are playing for participation ribbons.
I hate to, you know, and again, I hate to trivialize it like that, but, you know, sooner or later, you know, when again, it all started in August, and, you know, we beat the drum, and it's like a crying wolf. You know, this team was unprepared, and now we're in the middle of the season, and I know that I kind of hate this whole, You know, reading today's newspapers, it's okay, c'est la vie, Jay Cutler. See you later. Well, again, we saw Minnesota last night with Sam Bradford, the first overall pick in the draft 5 years ago. He was traded for out of desperation, and he was a coward. He wouldn't throw the ball down the field. He took check down after check down, and you know, it's a real tough job playing quarterback in the NFL. And we had one that was had you know, a chance to be special. And, you know, after 8 years, three head coaches and six offensive coordinators, it looks like, you know, it's kind of fizzled out. And I kind of hate that.
Yeah, I think it's too bad because there's no question Jay Cutler had the talent and has the talent. Now if he's in a phase where he can't stay healthy, it's a whole different argument. But certainly there were some arguments to be made about his demeanor, his leadership role, but there's no question he was talented.
If you win, I mean, if you throw passes and score touchdowns and you win, hey, everybody lines up. You know, I had a goofball as a quarterback at, and everybody thinks that, he walks on water. Trust me, if you are, you know, a guy that helps a team win at quarterback, you get an awful lot of credit. But unfortunately, like I said, you know, think about this. Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Drew Brees is maybe having his best season ever.
Right, and he's 57 years old.
They've had the same head coach and tutelage now for 8 years.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
You know, it pays off. It pays off.
Predictions for the weekend, Dave?
All right, one more time, last time, I'm going to pick the Bears.
3-2?
No, I'm going to pick
2-1.
No, I'm going to go
1-0.
17-13.
That's a lot of points for these two teams to put up.
I'm looking for special teams and defense to score.
Maybe a fan.
And maybe
a fan.
A fan
comes out of the stands.
Maybe a random fan will win a drawing.
Hamp?
Okay. How many drops? Okay, let me think. How about 10-9? Bears win. Again, you know, now you got guys like Willie Young and Akeem Hicks. These guys, they got pride. They're trying to play hard. Sure. Hopefully, you know, it'll manifest itself into a win. But like I said, I hate to say it's a no win. It's a win-win situation because if they do win, then, you know, hey, at least we won. If we don't win, then the draft scenario thing, those people, they're happy. So it's a win-win situation. Unfortunately, John Fox has put us in a box.
And my prediction is 3 hours and 41 minutes. That's about how long I think the game will take.
Oh, no.
That's going to be a very short half.
Obradovich will not like that, I promise you.
People want to get out of there.
He's prompt. He likes start at three.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Go Bears. Bye-bye.
See ya. When he said go Bears, my go Bears at this point would be, please leave. Just go. Just go.
Go, comma, Bears.
You know, it's all a problem. Caroling, caroling, now we go. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices, sweet and clear. Sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling near and far, Christmas bells are ringing. Following, following yonder star, Christmas bells are ringing. Sing we all this happy morn, lo, the King of Heaven is born. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
How about that? How about that? That's Dave and Andrea. They've been working very, very hard to sound like the Vernon Hills High School Choir.
We wish.
Give yourselves a hand, you guys. That was great.
Awesome.
Holiday season. By the way, only four people applauded in the entire group because they're tired. But that was tremendous. Dean Richards joins us now. Dean, you are one of the most important critics in America. What do you think?
I think that is a five-star performance. Dean's List A plus,
yeah.
And as you know, the kids, the teens love their Uncle Dean. I'd say that performance was swerve, because I speak the language of the teens. Steve.
I can tell the way they're walking out right now.
Am I right?
Are you guys swerve?
Am I right, Bernie?
Yeah, you're swerve.
You are swerve.
Swerve.
I'm
say what?
Swerve.
I'm chirping right now.
Yeah,
I'm chirping.
Yeah. He's chirping, and you guys were swerve.
That's why the kids love their Uncle Dean.
Right on.
I can't even. I'm on a website of teen expressions, by the way.
Throw in like every other couple of minutes, right?
LOL.
Let's go live now to the boss of the Vernon Hills High School Choir, who joins us in studio. Sir, what is your name?
Jeremy Little.
Jeremy was in the hallway texting because these guys were all in the green room together driving him nuts. This is a great group.
Thank you very much. Very proud of them.
Age range?
15 to 17, sophomores through seniors.
Holiday show coming up?
Yeah, a big show, two shows on Sunday, and about six other gigs today. So it's a fun...
So you're working them.
This is the one day
we
get out
of school.
Why
don't you make a few t-shirts, tough guy? Come on. they look tomorrow. Great, by the way. School colors, obviously, or did you just get a deal on the scarves?
my sister-in-law, she actually knits all the scarves.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How great is that?
Yeah,
Steve does that for all of us on the show.
I have a loom.
Nice.
More like a lair.
He made me an Afghan.
As you know, I make my own clothes. I tell you, the alpaca farm is killing it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Churns his own butter, everything.
Wow.
Dean, as you know, I got into show business as a psychic with the carnivals.
I did.
You know, I was on the carnival circuit.
I remember.
I'm guessing there's about 20 or so?
24.
24 people here, girls and boys. I'm guessing I can guess a name that's in this group.
Go for it, man.
All right, ready? Do we have an Emma?
Nope.
An Olivia?
Nope.
Caitlin?
Madison?
Nope.
Grace?
Nope.
Hannah?
Taylor. Boy,
you're good at this.
That's my middle name.
Hannah?
No.
Hannah's your middle name. There we go. All right.
Amazing.
Do we have Joshua?
No.
Michael?
No.
Jacob?
No.
Matthew? Nicholas.
No.
Daniel.
Nope.
See, this is why I got into radio. I sucked at this game.
Great.
Jim. Steve. Dave.
All right, all together now. Say your names. 1, 2, 3.
Jillian. Jessica,
like
Jillian. I heard those.
Don't you feel like you know them better now?
Wait,
I do.
We should. We have a student from Portugal, or from Brazil. Excuse me. Guilherme. That's
hey.
The best name.
You didn't guess Guilherme.
Guilherme.
Yeah.
Guilherme.
I'm sorry. He speaks Portuguese.
Guilherme, I don't speak Portuguese, but hola is close, and I took 2 years of Spanish. Nice to see you guys. Nice to Guilherme?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
We try our best.
There you go.
I'm calling HR right now, by the way.
Yeah. How many seniors here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A lot. And they all want to go to college. Dean, I said you and I would pay their tuition.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely happy to.
Yeah. And if you go to Channel 9, Dean is available in Mark Sapelsa's office. Go in and grab the checkbook. All right, you guys are going to sing some more for us coming up, right?
Yes, you bet.
All right, stand by for that. And again, it is the Vernon Hills High School Choir setting a high bar because we have some other kids coming in, as we do every year. And as you know, the next group of kids that could come in, well, they could suck, you know, and that would be bad.
They won't.
You're so encouraging. You're so encouraging.
Were you in a choir or anything, Dean?
I was not.
Yeah.
I was not. I no.
But, you know, as a black entertainer, I had my own R&B thing going by then.
I know.
So.
Yeah. No, I was school newspaper. That's the only thing I did.
Oh, I bet the chicks dig that, huh?
Yeah. I spent most of my time smoking in high school.
It's the school newspaper guy.
It's hot.
Don't make fun.
Or the AV guy. That was it.
Bon Jovi news. You guys remember Bon Jovi? Your moms liked him.
Can they sing Living on a Prayer?
Yeah, they're going to do that next. It's a classic Christmas song, Living on a Prayer.
That'd be awesome.
We've got Kanye news. We've got Luke Bryan news and Shia LaBeouf news. By the way, who's more outside the white lines, Shia LaBeouf or Kanye at this point?
I'm going to say Kanye.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. All right, coming up with your friend Dean.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth efface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Lord, how our roses bloom from
really beautiful. Really beautiful. Because you guys aren't impressed with our sitting ovation of three, we've added an applause track in the background. So sweetening it, as we say in the business. Right, Dean?
Mm-hmm. In case they want to know what it sounds like when they perform at the United Center.
Exactly, which is coming up. You mentioned you have several gigs today, and where are they? Are you playing on some of the best middle schools?
Oh, yeah, you know, exactly. Sold out elementary schools all over Vernon Hills.
That's got to be fun for you guys, right? To see the little kids have fun watching you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be nice.
It is. It's a highlight of the trip, and our district office has given us some lunch, and we're singing at a couple businesses. So.
And I like all these guys, but my favorite's Guillerme.
Yes, mine is too.
Yeah. And he's in town for how long? He's touring, I know.
Yeah, he's lived here forever. He's awesome and speaks Portuguese.
Oh, you big show-off. More from these guys coming up. Yes, Dave?
Can I just make one sports observation?
Sure.
These are the Class 5A runners-up in football this year
right.
in the state of Illinois. Vernon Hills played for the championship.
Who'd they play?
Played Peoria.
Mm-hmm. And Peoria cheated?
Evidently.
Yeah, obviously.
We are really proud of our school. They did a great job. Coach Bellicomo and all the athletes did a fantastic job.
Well, Vernon Hills is beautiful.
Yeah.
I used to go to Vernon Hills all the time, and there was a Zanies up there, so I'd play that room quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then they closed it. Yeah. What happened to...
Coincidence?
Isn't there a Portillo's in Vernon Hills?
Is there a Portillo's in Vernon Hills?
Is there a Portillo in Vernon Hills, kids?
It used to be right. It was used to be right across from the Zanies.
Yeah, it's there. It is the most popular place.
Of course,
in Vernon Hills. Yes.
Of course. I would go for a show at Zanies and then go get some chocolate cake there. You know, to eat on my way home.
Yeah,
you thought Dean's life wasn't glamorous. Come on. All right, so we'll run through the list here. We don't play 911 calls on this show, but please tell me that the 911 call from Kanye reveals something.
It's not. It actually is his doctor calling when Kanye was having his meltdown at his trainer's office a week ago. It's his doctor speaking to the 911 operator saying that he needs assistance. More than just paramedics, he also needs police. But you know, it reveals the concern of the people around Kanye West about what was happening a little over a week ago, when just before he was admitted into the hospital. So that came out. One of the other big stories this morning, and I'm going to say to this Vernon Hills choir, I'm not sure that this is the best thing in the world, but a country star, Luke Bryan, was doing a concert in, I think he was in Nashville, and he's singing along.
You guys think Luke Bryan's hot?
Yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know how they deal with hecklers. I'm not even...
Oh, suddenly Sandberg shows up. See, Luke Bryan's hot, she runs out.
What? I don't know if, like the Vernon Hills Choir gets heckled by anyone, but a heckler was... got in Luke Bryan's face. You know, he's singing and this guy is, making a fool of himself. So Luke Bryan just keeps...
Who heckles a major country star? It doesn't even make sense.
But listen to what he does,
though.
Sing
like a girl. What is the heckle?
Yeah, he did more. He was gesturing with a particular...
Digit?
Yeah, thank you. This is what Luke Bryan does. He keeps singing a song. He kind of ignores him, but keeps singing the song. Works his way down into the audience. Goes up to the guy and smacks him in the face.
That's hilarious. While he's singing?
And while he's singing. Walks away, smacks him, walks away, continues the song. Security takes the guy out of the venue.
There's a notion that celebrities are supposed to just take it. I like a guy who says, I want to probably figure out, while he's singing the song, he's figuring out $10,000 in legal fees, $50,000 in a check to the guy. Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And then he goes down.
I'm a country singer. Pow! Right in the kisser.
Why would you pay for tickets and go and heckle him?
Yep. I'm going to guess that maybe somebody like a Jose Cuervo might have been involved in something. May have been involved in this situation.
Tell you a little story, Dan. Back in the 80s. You remember the 80s. Back in the 80s, we thought it would be funny on the station I was on at the time that I was thrown out of. To go in and sort of heckle and cause trouble at a Barry Manilow concert. We got tickets, second row center.
Oh.
We were surrounded by people now my age, by the way, and older, who were not going to take any of that. So we never actually heckled. And by the second song, I was singing Mandy at the top of my lungs.
You don't want to mess with the Barry Maniacs.
And it turns out he's a terrific entertainer. I don't know if you know that or not.
Puts on a heck of a show.
So
I just saw the Family Guy episode where Peter and Quagmire go to a Barry Manilow concert to heckle him. they wind up being in love, and they bring Quagmire on stage, and Barry Manilow sings.
Right,
he sings a song directly to Quagmire.
So you seen Barry Manilow? He's great. Turns out I was wrong. Bon Jovi coming to the
Quagmire.
UC.
The kids are like, who? Barry who?
Right.
Bon Jovi coming to the UC?
Bon Jovi just announced yesterday they're going to be coming to the United Center, first time since 2013. Show is going to be on March 26th. We can go for our birthday, Steve. It's right between our birthdays.
That'd be fantastic.
The tickets are going to go on sale December 10th at 10 a.m. They also announced yesterday that Dead and Company is going to be coming to Wrigley Field. This is kind of the newly configured Grateful Dead. They did their farewell show at Soldier Field last year.
Wait, let me stop for the kids one more time. All right, you guys. So, Bon Jovi, your moms. Barry Manilow, your grandparents. The Grateful Dead, the people you never met because they died before you were born.
Hieroglyphics, yeah. You'll see them in hieroglyphics. They did their a series of farewell shows at Soldier Field last year. Three of the surviving members now, Mickey Hart, Bill Kreutzmann, and Bob Weir, will play with John Mayer. Two shows at Wrigley Field, June 30th and July 1st, and tickets for that will go on sale 1 week from today, Cubs.com/Dead and Company.
Any movie reviews for the weekend?
This is like one of the worst movie weekends, considering there's about 20 fantastic movies that are opening. in the next couple of weeks. You think they would throw us a bone and put a couple of good ones this week. Really, the only one to speak of this week is the new Shia LaBeouf movie, which is a real disappointment. It's a military psychological drama that does not work. It's if you're able to get through the muddled and confusing plot, it's a story about the emotional and physical damage that soldiers go through with post-traumatic stress disorder, but it is such a convoluted movie, so hard to get through. I am only giving it a Dean's List C-.
And you're on Sunday?
I will be on Sunday, right after the TV show this morning, headed to the airport, going to the Skywalker Ranch in Northern California. I will see Rogue One, the Star Wars story, tonight. We'll interview the cast tomorrow, and Sunday morning we'll have some of those interviews for all the Star Wars fans.
So there's a screening room at the house, and all the critics are going to watch it there?
I don't know what the other critics are going to do, but I'm thinking that George Lucas and I together will just be in his den.
You know what I'd do? I'd go through his drawer, see if there's any money lying around.
Oh, I am stealing so much stuff when I'm there. It's not even funny. I'll have souvenirs / thoughtful Christmas gifts for everyone when I come.
A lot of people don't know this. The original R2-D2 lives with George Lucas. Yeah, he
is
does.
This true?
Oh, yeah. He just zips around the house making that beep boop beep boop noise all the time.
Yeah, that's not annoying.
No.
Thanks, buddy.
Have fun. Great
Everyone
job.
Everyone say bye, Dean.
Great job, Bernie Hills. Great job. It sounded so good.
They really sound good.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now bring us some figgy pudding, now bring us some figgy pudding, now bring us some figgy pudding, and bring some right here. Good tidings to you, wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We won't go until we've got some, we won't go until we've got some, we won't go until we've got some, so bring some right here.
Nicely done again.
Beautiful.
Have a seat, my friend. And once again, we want to reintroduce you to the Vernon Hills High School Choir, directed by
Mr. Jeremy Little.
And Jeremy Little, you were a student where?
I was at Woodstock High School.
Woodstock High School reminds me of the producer of this program, Ann Johnson, mm-hmm. when we came back in 2013 after I was fired and I left and I came back.
Yeah.
And did you know Ann?
I did not know her, but my parents taught her. And
she cheated a lot in school.
And she was...
What were your parents' names?
Chuck and Sharon Little.
So Mr. and Mrs. Little.
Mr. and Mrs. Little,
yeah,
yes.
Nothing gets by me.
Yeah. You're quick, Steve.
Yeah, I am. And was she a legend in school? Because she went on to perform at Yale.
She was the person that a lot of us looked up to. And I remember being in fifth grade. You know, we talked about the elementary schools. I remember being in fifth grade, sitting on the floor of Dean Street Elementary, watching the Madrigals, and she was probably in that group. And then I wanted to kind of continue to do the same thing.
It's a perfect time for a blatant plug. You know, our 1 o'clock New Year's Eve show is going to be at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake, and we're trying to get Ann to come over and
that'd be great.
And do something in the show.
Cool.
Would that be enough to make you come? Because you're not showing up
totally
just for me.
Come. Yeah.
You
got to add something.
And bring your parents.
Value added.
Yeah, I understand. Now, your own singing career was what, or is what?
It's these kids. I mean, I'm a
teacher. I think you're being modest. There's a rumor you once appeared on the Steve and Johnny show.
Oh, yes, that's right. Woodstock High School Choir was on the Steve and Johnny show for, I don't know, 20 years, which makes it just a small segment of the
you
Steve
took
and
you
Johnny.
20 to get out of high school?
Yeah. I was on there for 4, and the best story is that I was getting a C in chemistry. I was awful. And I mentioned on the Steve and Johnny show that all I wanted was a B in chemistry from Mr. Lichtenheld, and
wow.
That was enough.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Lichtenheld still with us?
You know, I think
because
he is.
Because he sounds like a teacher that it'd be tough to get a B in.
It was really hard.
Right?
But I mentioned his name on the air, and I think I failed the final and still got a B. So,
And that's one of our first examples of payola for the youngsters.
There you go. Lesson learned, kids.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for
you
having
know who
us.
Else he knows is Kristen Samuelson.
Oh, yeah. Of course. We love Kristen.
Kristen worked here, and then she was with the editorial board upstairs. And
Red Eye for a while.
And Red Eye for a while.
Kristen started, I think, as a Spike Odell intern.
She did. She was.
Worked
yeah.
her
she
way
had a great
all
voice.
Oh, she got a phenomenal voice.
Yeah.
She did. We went to prom together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kristen.
And the reason I find that amusing is, well, Kristen's beautiful, but so are you, sir.
Thank you, man. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
We should congratulate Kristen on her wedding.
Well, hold on.
Which was a week ago.
How tall, not in heels, you?
5'9".
5'9". Kristen is 6'1", 6'2"?
6'1", I believe she is.
Yes.
Beautiful girl.
Yeah.
Did you see
what do the pictures look like?
Well, I was on a stool, but no. We had a great time. The whole crew was, it was most of the people from chamber choir from my chamber choir in high school that we all kind of went to prom together, and we were really great friends. So,
well, these guys seem like great kids.
They're pretty fantastic. I'm kind of luckiest person in the
world. How long have you been doing this?
I've been at this school for 10 years.
And this is your favorite group?
Yes, it is.
Yes, because you have to write home with them. Yes. And do you see a lot of these kids doing music in the next step in college?
Whether or not it's careers in music or just keeping it involved in their life, we have a ton of alumni who have kept music either professionally or just in, you know, as part of their life, either gigging or a lot of people are... in choirs and bands and orchestras, just community groups. And then a lot of them go on to music education. We have a lot of alums that do that as well.
Well, it's got to be very fulfilling. You got a great job.
I'm very blessed. Thank you. Yeah.
And what you guys don't know is he also had Beyonce a few years ago.
Yes.
He's the one who said, let's call you Bae. not true?
For the first time in my life, I'm speechless, Steve.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to do a quick traffic, then I want you to do a couple songs for us, if you don't mind.
Awesome.
You want me to pick them, or you got them?
Yeah, just out of a hat, man.
You got them? You got them? Okay.
Yeah.
Mary first on 720 WGN.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Very nice. We're going to need you guys to go upstairs. We're going to record 50, 60 bumps. And keep those and exploit you for all that you've done here. Yeah. It's show business. What can I tell you? So Vernon Hills High School Choir. If you don't mind, you've been doing a great job of giving us kind of samples of everything. But we'd love for you to do a couple of songs, actually, here. How crazy is that? Tell me again.
We would certainly love to do it. This first number is called The Wexford Carol from a county in Ireland. Beautiful and slow. It's followed by a great arrangement of Angels We Have Heard on High.
Beautiful. All right, here again, the Vernon Hills High School Choir.
Good people of this Christmas time, consider well and bear in mind what our good God for us has done in sending His beloved Son. With Mary, we should pray to God with love this Christmas Day in Bethlehem upon earth. Oh,
me turn the mics on so you can actually hear us applaud. It's a standing ovation. You guys are fabulous. Seriously, congratulations. All right, before we kick you out, and we will, anybody got a birthday this weekend or any big holiday, any event coming up? Anybody want to dump their boyfriend or girlfriend on the air? Anybody? Any special events coming up? Moms, dads, birthdays, teachers you want to suck up to? Anybody at all?
Shout out, Mr. Isabelli.
Hello, Mrs. Reddick, if you're listening, please give me a B in math. Yeah, please,
I'm on that boat too.
Mrs. Reddick, a B in math. You'll take a B?
I'll take a B.
All right,
B's
we need a B
everybody.
In math.
B's
for
everybody.
B's for...
I love it, Mr. Isabelli.
No. This lovely young woman here says, no B's for me.
Not today.
I'll take an A.
An A. All right, good. Well, it's really fabulous to have you guys here, and you should be very proud of these guys. They're very impressive.
We're very blessed. Thank you.
And, again, your big shows are when?
We have sold-out performances on Sunday, too.
So no one can come.
But we're caroling next weekend, too, in the community as well.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, you guys. Be healthy, be safe, have fun, as you clearly are doing, and thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's the Vernon Hills High School Choir, back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show is never grazing in the grass.
In the grass is
what is 9:10 now. Hi to everybody watching on CLTV. Remember, you can watch video of this fabulous production every morning from 9 to 10 on CLTV. You can watch Roe every afternoon from 3 until 4. Roe now sporting the scruff. Have you seen Roe?
I have, yeah. It's kind of like that McDreamy, Patrick Duffy.
See, Roe reminds you of McDreamy?
No. No, that's not to say that Roe.
You were just using that as
nice
a reference.
Man. Exactly. Yeah,
got
the,
it.
The stubble, the scruff.
Got it.
The scruff.
Anna and Roe and all the other folks on Roe's show, which include, by the way, a cast of thousands now.
And Anna not sporting the scruff.
No, Anna shaves regularly.
Looks great.
Anna's fabulous. You know that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so beautiful.
Beautiful girl.
And of course, you got your Violetta and your Kevin.
Yeah,
do a nice job with
the millennials. They call them the kids.
And Judy in the newsroom. The kids?
Yeah, the kids.
Yeah. Well, that's how I refer to you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
And me?
No, Dave, I refer to you as Dad.
Gramps.
Nice. I walked into that.
Mary's on the seventh floor. And,
hi.
And as we introduce the band. And the reason we keep Mary on the seventh floor for the CLTV audience is because...
of the TRO?
No, the security. Yeah, the TRO and the security purposes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But Mary on the seventh floor is locked in her traffic closet.
So nice and warm in here. And there's lights.
There are lights. That's
yes.
True. Yes. But anyway, thank you for watching. And, of course, you can see video all morning long. It's not as quality as the CLTV video you're seeing now. But we run a bank security quality video at WGNradio.com. You can watch that prior to 9 o'clock if you like. So thanks for that. We appreciate it. And thanks to everybody at CLTV for this first week. Donald J. Trump, the president-elect of the United States, is back on tour. Now, you can take this two ways, right? You could take this as... it's disturbing because shouldn't he be focused on his presidential daily briefing? Shouldn't he be focused on finishing filling the cabinet? Shouldn't he be focused on deciding if he's going to continue to date Mitt Romney? Or you could take it in the vein of, thank God he's out of Washington. He's less dangerous now. Because there is a notion amongst those on the inside that this will be a advisory or a prime ministerial presidency where Paul Ryan and Reince Priebus and Mike Pence will make most of the decisions. Time will only tell about that. But the interesting thing about his carrier drive-by yesterday in Indianapolis is because he deserves credit for saving these carrier jobs. He didn't give Mike Pence a whole lot of credit, though Rick Pearson, amongst others, told me that Mike Pence did the negotiations. But when he went in, I don't know, if you do something really nice for somebody, do you open with this?
I'll never forget about a week ago, I was watching the nightly news. They had a gentleman, worker, great guy. Handsome guy, he said something to the effect, no, we're not leaving because Donald Trump promised us that we're not leaving. And I never thought I made that promise. And then they played my statement. And I said, Carrier will never leave. But that was a euphemism. I was talking about Carrier like all other companies from here on in because they made the decision a year and a half ago. But he believed that that was, and I could understand it. I actually said I didn't make it. When they played it, I said I did make it, but I didn't mean it quite that way. Do I call the head of Carrier, who's a great guy. But I've always learned I got to call the top. So I called Greg Hayes. I heard of him, but I never met him. And he picked up the phone. Mr. President-elect, sir, how are you? It's wonderful to win. You know, think if I lost, he wouldn't have returned my call. So I said, Greg, you got to help us out here. We got to sit down. We got to do something. I said, because we just can't let it happen.
That's Donald J. Trump's story on how things went down. But the idea that he told the people assembled in the room, I forgot about you guys. Mm-hmm. And I was only kidding when I said it. But isn't it great that I could pull it off?
Yep.
It's the weirdest sort of thank you for being me sort of hand slapping. Or he actually did a reach around. He patted himself on the butt there.
On the back, you mean?
No, in his case, the butt.
Oh, no.
Jake and I were talking about this off the air. Essentially, last night was a campaign rally.
It was.
So for a guy that knows he won, he's really happy because he's out campaigning again.
We're going to build the wall. People are saying, do you think Trump's going to build the wall? Trust me, we're going to build the wall. And by the way, people are going to come through that wall. We're going to have doors in that wall. But they're going to come through legally. And people are going to come through on worker permits to work the fields. We're going to have people, a lot of people are going to come through, but it's going to be done through a legal process. But one thing that's not going to come through is drugs. The drugs are going to stop.
Really? Did you have to add to work the fields?
And you can't say the drugs are going to stop because the drugs aren't going to stop. He has this, and again, he won. I support the office, and I support him doing the best job he can. But criticism of the president comes with the job, and criticism of the president-elect as well. He's got to stop saying things that he cannot do. You will not stop the flow of drugs from Mexico. You might lessen it. You certainly would hope that you would lessen it. But there have been billions and trillions of dollars wasted on the drug war that could be spent elsewhere, and all the other promises that he's made. Anyway.
Well, how about, okay, wait, hold on there for 1 second. How about when on the campaign, Donald Trump said, and we have the audio here somewhere, where he said, if I'm elected, I can stop the violence in Chicago. Just give me a week.
Right. And we have 700 homicides now.
And we're not even through
with the end. If you have a secret, Mr. President-elect, that you could clear this up by next Friday, that'd be swell.
That'd be great.
The campaign rally turned into more of everything you've heard for the last year and a half when he brought up this.
I'm going to discuss our action plan to make America great again. We're going to discuss. Although we did have a lot of fun fighting Hillary, didn't we? Right?
Now, the lock her up chant starting, again, he has another opportunity right there to go, no, enough of that. We're moving on for the good of the country and to stick by what he said a couple of weeks ago. He has no interest in hurting the Clintons. He won. She lost. It's time to move on. But he can't, at least so far, do that. It goes to the same notion of when he was talking about we disavow violence and racism. And we want to have everybody get along. Well, it's not a freaking Hallmark card. You're the president-elect of the United States. Name the groups. Name them. I don't want to hear from the KKK. I don't want to. You have the right to go out and protest, but I'm not going to endorse it, and I'm not going to get behind it. And stop using my name as some sort of endorsement for what you do. Another missed opportunity. However, there was some news that was made. And the news is generally being greeted because I got to tell you, most of his cabinet picks so far are going to be approved by the Senate. And I honestly, this notion that he picked a bunch of rich guys and that's a bad idea. It's only a bad idea because he said he wouldn't. And he said he was going to drain the swamp. I like when rich guys handle money, especially if somebody's got their eyes on them because they got rich by handling money. So I don't have a huge problem with a lot of his cabinet picks. A couple of the people he surrounded himself with are obviously problems. But his position for defense secretary, he announced it last night, is only the Trumpster can.
We are going to appoint Mad Dog Mattis as our secretary of defense. But we're not announcing it till Monday, so don't tell anybody. Mad Dog.
He's great. He is great.
That's James Mad Dog Mattis.
He's just so
general.
This is the 12-year-old in him. He just so loves Mad Dog.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a fine line between a Trump rally and a WWE wrestling situation.
Mad Dog.
We're still waiting on Secretary of State. A couple of additional names have even been thrown into the mix. But I firmly believe it's going to come from a pool of what he referred to as the Final Four, which makes it sound like an episode of The Apprentice. And the Final Four include Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani.
Right, for Secretary of State.
What did I say?
You're Secretary of State.
Yes.
Yeah, Mattis, though, remember, he has to get the congressional waiver because
he hasn't been out long.
Correct.
Enough.
It's supposed to be a 7-year waiting period for when you left the military, and it's been, I think, 5.
Mad Dog.
Yeah, yes.
I don't entirely understand the need for the 7-year waiting period.
Yeah, I don't quite get that.
Because
either.
If you've had current military experience,
yeah,
and at the highest level, and you're asked to run the Defense Department, I'd like you not to forget anything.
Well, especially because we're still engaged in many of these operations.
And operations he's familiar with,
correct,
because you know he was in the fields. So there you go. That's a little bit of a today in President-elect Trump. When we come back, we'll update you on a little more local situation, and that's not the mannequin challenge. It's the Madigan challenge. We'll come back with that in a second at 720 WGN. So yesterday, I spent a couple hours with my first and only grandchild, Abigail Grace Cochran, who will be 1 year old on December 17th.
Already?
How about that, huh?
Wow.
You
and man, and I say we because she had a good time as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I see her now, there's more wiring that's connecting.
She knows who you are. She recognizes you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. I see her every week. And it's just cool now because she wants to hang with me. And I think she's starting to understand that whatever she wants, whenever she wants, it's going to be the way this whole thing goes down.
For the rest of your life and hers.
Yeah. And I look forward to a long, long session of, and I'm talking about years here, of eye rolling from Ross and Lauren when I get her to do things she shouldn't do.
Oh.
Yeah. But we just had a blast. And I never got this. And for grandparents, I get it now.
I loved your response when we said, because we know you usually spend Thursdays with Abigail, when we said, how was your day with Abigail?
And it's my new book, Thursdays with Abigail.
And you know, very mature, it was very cool. Your response was, well, she liked me better than all the other people.
Well, except for her grandmother.
Yeah, right, of course.
Yeah, she prefers Maureen. Yeah. But it's not so bad.
But you sat, you're really close second, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean, yesterday was great because she wanted to hang with me. She wanted to cuddle with me. Now, she did grab my wallet one point.
That's a preview.
Yeah.
Of life.
Yeah. But training. That was fine. Yeah. And Mary Vandeveld, live from the 7th floor. What do we know in regards to you being a first-time grandmother?
I am going to be a first-time grandmother.
But how are
June
things
1st?
Developing?
Great. You know,
Dave, let me explain
got a
this
baby
to you.
Bump yes. already.
When a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
Yes, like, Uncle Steve.
Yes. Oh. But she's got a baby bump?
Yeah,
she's
a
tiny girl.
She's a tiny, tiny girl. Yeah. My daughter-in-law, Sarah. Yes, beautiful, tiny little girl. So,
well,
but it's already, it's, you know, she's
not gonna
so,
be,
it's
not
so
gonna
exciting.
Be tiny for
actually,
long.
From a listener yesterday, I got a receiving blanket. A listener made me a blankie.
Oh, that's very
Isn't
cool.
That
you were
cute?
The baby.
For the baby.
Okay, got it.
You thought she was going to get a blankie for sleeping in the car?
So.
Yeah.
So isn't that exciting?
So, Dave, you got to get you one of these. These grandkids. These one of these grandkids. You got to get you one.
I'm sure I will at some point.
Yeah. Just telling you.
Dogs don't come.
Not really my decision, Steve.
Yeah.
I think if
I were. Stay out of it, Dave.
If I were his daughter or daughter-in-law and he put in a request for a grandchild, that would make me not want to have a grandchild for him.
Really?
Yeah,
was,
what? Yeah.
I get that.
That would,
yeah, you don't want the pressure.
Oh, you don't
you
want,
don't
the
want
pressure.
Mom and dad saying, oh, when am I going to be a grandparent?
Needs to be somebody else's idea?
Well, your own, probably.
That seems odd.
Go good with. Place to start.
No, that seems odd. I mean, that seems odd.
I was going to say about Abigail, when she came to the studio a few weeks ago, she even knew to play up picking you in front of like strangers because I wanted to hold her, and she chose Grandpa over me, and I thought, good move, Abigail.
Good call.
Yeah, she's.
Now, it's going to take a while, but when I say we, I mean me. Ross calls me Pops because, you know, as a black entertainer for a long time, you know, and a blues man, Pops is a cool name. So I thought Abigail should call me G-Pops.
G-Pops, yeah.
Yeah, G-Pops.
That flow right out of a baby's mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're trying to embed that.
What does she call you now?
Hasn't taken yet. Now she usually calls me,
Okay.
Yeah. It's generally But I've got a picture. I don't know. Can we pick that up? I don't know if we can pick that up. I actually looked at my phone to make sure I didn't have my social security number or something.
Your
on
address.
The phone screen. Yeah,
oh,
that's
there
not
it
too
is.
Bad.
Oh.
That's Ross and Abigail in one of the paparazzi shots that they picked up. But that's Abigail. She'll be 1 year old in just a couple of weeks.
Are you guys... the birthday party.
Well, right? The birthday party and Christmas. And are you guys going to do that thing? You know, a one-year-old is pretty much interested in playing with a piece of Tupperware.
Yeah.
But you're going to overdo it and give her like a mini golf cart and...
Yeah. Well, I've got her working on her swing right now. You know, because I got to be honest with you. Not a good putter. Yeah, it's not strong. Not strong at all.
Little.
Reminds me of you, Dave, actually, in the putting department.
Oh. Okay, that's totally unfair. My putting got much better this year.
That's unfair. We haven't seen Abigail putt yet.
Speaking of cute little kids, who's not so little anymore, how about our buddy?
Oh, Ace Henry. Yeah, his dad, Bill Henry, just texted. Ace Henry, Aeson is his real name, but everyone calls him Ace. He was our kid of the week last year about this time. A little football player. He's fierce.
It's
not
fierce.
Cute. He's fierce.
Great looking kid,
He was
too.
Our kid of the week, and remember, he was on the show when they were trying to raise money for the Pop Warner team to go down to Florida. Because they were Steve Cochran Show Kid of the Week, they raised the funds. They went down there. We sent them pizzas. And good news, Ace and the Homewood Flossmoor Junior Vikings Pee Wee team, as we speak, they're on their way to Florida for the national championship game for the second year in a row.
Done.
So way to go, Ace and the Homewood Flossmoor Junior Vikings Pee Wee team.
Yes.
Do they have any players they could lend the Bears?
No kidding. As a matter of fact, the Junior Pee Wee, Tiny Mites, whatever their names are, they could start.
Ace is a quarterback.
Yeah.
There you go.
And what a name.
Who is playing quarterback Sunday?
Matt Barkley.
Yeah. all right. So last word for this segment, and then Kurt Byram will join us from the Golf Channel coming up in a little bit on the return of Tiger Woods. Lock up your daughters. No, he played okay. But we'll talk to Kurt about it coming up. But last word on this segment to tie up the politics. We're doing the Madigan Challenge. Now, everybody knows the Mannequin Challenge. The Mannequin Challenge is where you and a group of people freeze like mannequins while a camera or a phone with video runs around you, and you take the shot of the Mannequin Challenge, and eventually somebody falls down and you all laugh. So the Mannequin Challenge will run its course, but the Madigan Challenge is because Mike Madigan doesn't show up for meetings. The Speaker of the Illinois House, the most powerful man in Illinois, the guy who has been around for 40 years as Illinois has decayed, Mike Madigan, has not shown up for meetings to discuss the budget, claims he had other things going on. By the end of this year, the House and the State Assembly will have had 7 months off. If you haven't figured out your errand schedule to get to Jewel during that 7 months off or whatever else he claims to be doing, I can't help you. So the Madigan Challenge is this, and this is a combination of an idea from a listener, and Andrea, you brought this up.
Yep.
You simply take a picture of a meeting that you're in that Mike Madigan didn't attend. So it's a picture of a meeting and an open chair. And you can put any kind of sign on the open chair that you like. Mike wasn't here. Where's Mike? Maybe a picture of Madigan. Whatever the case may be. But we want to remind Mike Madigan, who, by the way, you can't reach unless you call during business hours, and you also can't email him. Really handy. We want to be able to let him know that we're not happy because he's been living in his own little Mike Madigan bubble. And it's got to end.
Now he has a chance to redeem himself.
Show up at a meeting.
Governor Rauner wants and is suggesting weekend meetings with the four legislative leaders.
Yeah.
So he has an opportunity Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. Show up. Right. Show up, Mike. It's the Madigan Challenge. Send us a picture. Hashtag it Madigan Challenge. And send it to me on Twitter at Cochran Show or Steve Cochran Show. On Facebook.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I feel good. I think probably the positive thing is I'm not that sore. I feel like I can recover pretty quickly for tomorrow. Only thing is I was telling Joey coming down the last few holes, I'm really hungry. I forgot how my appetite gets revved up, come playing again, how much I'm eating. And I forgot about, little things like that.
Probably don't want to use this as walk-on music when he hits for the first day. Tiger Woods back. Golf needs Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods back at the Hero World Challenge, his tournament. 18 guys, no cut. Not a bad situation to get back into. And my friend Kurt Byram from the Golf Channel joins us now. Kurt, there's better gigs in yours, but not too many. How are the Bahamas?
Great. And by the way, I love that walk-up music for Tiger. That's perfect. Aerosmith, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Or is it How Is the Bahamas? I don't know. So he starts off, he plays okay in a pro-am, starts off pretty good yesterday, and then gives it up late, right?
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. I mean, he played really well through the first eight holes. He was tied for the lead at 4 under par. You know, he's driven it fairly well through the first eight, hit a bunch of great iron shots, which, other than one bad swing with the irons yesterday, he hit his irons great all day long. But he lost it a little bit starting at 9, where he made bogey on the par 5 ninth, and then the backside was kind of ugly. He started missing his driver a little bit left and, you know, made some, you know, in his words, silly mistakes, mental mistakes. And then, you know, he shot 5 over on that last, 10 holes. So, yeah, it got away from him a little bit.
Kurt does Golf Channel, does NBC Golf, and as I said, is a terrific friend, but also has played at the highest level for a long time. So take me inside your head, his head, all the guys that have played on tour, because as you know, Kurt, when a guy like me goes out and plays really well for me and maybe shoots 37 or 38 or 36 on the front, I start thinking about my score, and then I'll put up a 45 on the back. Do pros do that as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think in Tiger's case, it was more rust from having been out for almost 16 months. You know, I think that was more about he, even though he got off to that great start, it was still, you know, some poor decision making on his part, a couple of swings that, you know, he thought he was going to hit he called it a pull cut down the left side with a little cut, and he pull hooked it instead with the driver. But, you know, I think, Steve, overall, I mean, we were talking about it on the air yesterday, but I think I take mostly positives from what he did yesterday.
Sure.
Yeah, he shot 73. He hates shooting 73, as we all know. He's the most competitive guy on the planet, pretty much. But I think he's got to get his golf legs back, you know. He's got to get into the flow and the focus of you know, 18 holes straight. But I take a lot of positives. He hit his irons great. His putting was solid. He had a couple so-so little pitch shots that didn't look good, but then he hit some good ones besides that, too. So, you know, the driver really was the one club that caused the most issues. And I think really, what other choice do you have? If you're a player, you can't just go, you know, you can't finish off the 18th hole, walk in and start beating yourself up for shooting
right.
one over, because that doesn't work. So
right.
I think he takes positives from it, and he goes into day encouraged.
Good morning, Kurt. Hey, in the public, I know from our standpoint, Tiger's a very polarizing player.
He certainly player. Is
He's
now,
very
sure.
polarizing yeah. figure today, present day. But what's the reaction from his peers, from other tour players? Are they
question.
Happy he's back? They like the competition, or do they just ignore it altogether?
No, they're pulling for him. They're all for him coming back and playing. And they want to see him get back to the level of being able to win and, you know, being one of the dominant players out here, because they all know, if they have a brain in their head, they all know that the reason they're all getting wealthy, a lot of it has to do with Tiger and the popularity of the game of golf that, you know, that he created. So they're all pulling for him. A lot of them, you know, I heard a lot of the guys were tweeting, you know, can't wait to see him play.
Right.
I know for a fact a lot of tour players were at home watching it on TV yesterday to see what was going to happen, just like every other golf fan. And so you don't hear that very often. I mean, professional golfers that are playing the PGA Tour, European Tour, all the major tours around the world, when they're home, they don't watch a lot of golf, but I bet they were yesterday.
I'll let you go on this. He looks like he's having fun. And he you know, in interviews and things like that, and hitting balls and things. And he would usually be so stern-faced from the moment he showed up at the course to the terrible post-round interview that he did with everybody. Is he looser than he was before, and is that a good thing or a bad thing for him?
I think it's a good thing right now, and I think your perception is correct. I think it's that same old thing, Steve. Once he got inside the ropes, that's the most comfortable place in his world.
Sure.
Inside the ropes, hitting golf shots, trying to shoot a score and competing. That's where he loves life. That's where he's most comfortable. And I think that's why you saw the smile yesterday, despite the fact that he shot one over. He did interviews with us right after his round. He did interviews with the other media right after his round. He was accommodating. I thought he handled it really, really well.
What time are you guys on today, all day?
Well, there'll be some pregame stuff starting at noon. The live golf starts at 1. Unfortunately, the one downer today for us is that Tiger tees off at 11:12 local Eastern time. And Justin Rose has a bad back, and that's who he was supposed to play with. He withdrew. So Tiger's going to be out there playing by himself today, and it'll probably only take him about, 2.5 hours to play. So he'll be done really early.
So the Golf Channel will have this majority of the round on tape, and they'll play it slowly.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get into our live window, and we're going to see every shot he hits while we're on the air live, sure. And why not, man? This guy, he creates more interest in the game of golf than anybody playing competitively right now. It's just the bottom line. It's a fact of life. He is he's the guy that still creates all of the attention for golf.
Golf needs him, and I'm glad he's back, and I'll be watching him this weekend and watching you, Kurt, doing a great job at the Golf Channel. Thanks for taking time away from lunch. I appreciate it.
No problem, Steve. Enjoyed it.
All right, buddy. See ya. That's Kurt Byron. And follow Kurt on Twitter and various other places.
It creates a whole different story with him because it used to be people watched him because he was so dominant and could he do it again and could he break the record.
Now you're watching if he can.
Now you're watching to see if he can do it.
If he can get back.
Yeah.
And you and I are old enough to remember when Nicklaus hit 40 and we were kids and Nicklaus struggled. And would he come back and won a Masters at 46? Don't count Tiger out yet.
Don't think you should.
Yeah. It's 9:51. Bill and Wendy on the radio here at 10. We continue on CLTV and 720 WGN. All right. I've got here in my hot little hand the Granite Peak Ski Vacation Package. Includes 4 lift passes and a 2-night stay at Rib Mountain Inn. You can book your ski and stay package at granitepeak.com. It's worth almost $500.
That's a great, great deal.
Jake, you want to go with caller number 7.
Let's go with caller 7.
Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. That is the telephone number. Call now. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing sponsors the Hawks Express. When the Hawks win, we give you a bunch of highlights. Chicago!
Chicago Blackhawks open the month of December here on United Center Ice and go for a season sweep of the series against the team from the Garden State. And this morning they learned that their job will get a little bit tougher as NHL young star Taylor Hall returns to the New Jersey lineup. Loose puck beside the Hawk net. Kyle Palmieri jams it in on goal. They score! It was hard work around the Blackhawks net. The Devils have taken a 1-0 lead. Kruger breaking to the Devils' own right circle. She scores! Marcus Kruger off of a pinpoint pass from Seabrook that originated in the Hawks zone. Kruger was in full flight, rolled into the Devil's zone, and rifled one from the slot past Schneider. We're tied at 1. Turned over in front. Zajac turns around and fires. He scores. It's a power play goal, and the Devils take a 2-1 lead. Slides around to the left point. Key fires. Save. Rebound. Score! Artem Anisimov was headed toward the Devil net looking for a rebound, and he found one, a juicy one, and went from forehand to backhand and ties the score at 2. In the high slot, Hjalmarsson fires. He scores! Hammer time! Nicklaus Hjalmarsson. That one finds the back of the Devil net, and it's now 3-2 Hawks. Camilleri right circle, put it to the left circle. Zajac shoots and scores. A hat trick for Travis Zajac, and that ties the game at 3. So the faceoff at center ice to start OT, and Anisimov whacks it back into the Hawk zone to Hjalmarsson, to Panarin along the left wing boards. Kane the other way through center ice, crosses the Devil line, drops it off. Hossa, top of the right circle, cuts through the slot, shoots, he scores! Overtime game-winning goal for Marian Hossa! And the Hawks beat the New Jersey Devils 4-3. The first point for Haas in 5 games.
I Back with the Bill and Wendy Show coming up. Thanks again for watching CLTV. Steve Cochran, 720 WGN.